Yesterday was Shavuos Parshas Re'eh and the first day of Rosh Chodesh Elul. That's the same Kriyas as it was in Yer Toshan and Aleph. In order to understand and appreciate the Sicha that the Rebbe spoke that week, Shavuos Parshas Re'eh, Toshan and Aleph, you have to review a little what the Rebbe said the week previously in Parshas Eikev. So the Rebbe spoke about the idea that the Avodah of Elul is alluded to in the acronym for Pasuk Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li, that the emphasis in the month of Elul, emphasis in general in a person's Avodah, but the emphasis specifically in the month of Elul is the Avodah of Ani L'Dodi, I am to my beloved, which indicates the Avodah of Numata L'Maila, working your way up from the bottom up, that a person starts, operates within his own finite limitations and the limitations of the world, and the person grows progressively, step by step, stage by stage, trying to get closer and closer to the Eibishter, to Ani L'Dodi. And I've explained that the word El is actually made up of both expressions, even though in Lakuta Teri he explains that Ani L'Dodi is El is primarily Ani L'Dodi, and then the revelation of a Dodi Li, my beloved is to me, which is the revelation from above, is more related to the days of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot. But Rebbe explains that you see that the fact that it's in the name of the month, it's alluded to in the name of the month of Elul, so obviously the union of a Dodi Li exists in Elul as well. And in fact, both expressions are joined together in one word, which is the name of the month. But the Rebbe explained that actually there has to be two types of Avodah in a person's divine service. The first one is, the main one is working your way from the bottom up, growing and developing and expanding your abilities and capacities, and you're getting progressively closer to the Eibishter. But then there's also an Avodah in which a person has to start in a way of going sort of without limitations from the top down, doing things that are above and beyond his normal capacities, and bringing down higher levels of godliness into his life. And we explained that this is alluded to in the two days of Rosh Chodesh El, the way it falls out that this year is that the first day is Shabbos, the second day is Sunday, that we actually have two different types of systems. But Sunday is the first day of the week of which the weekday represents a person's avodah from the bottom up. Shabbos is the idea of a person's avodah from the top down, where you have the idea that Shabbos pre-exists the world. And the idea that the Shabbos is a day when a person is preoccupied almost entirely with matters of Kedusha, with holiness, that are higher than his normal weekday level, and you're supposed to bring that down into your everyday life. So the Rebbe said, the ultimate is actually that there should be the fusion and combining of the two, as it's expressed in the word Elul in one word. The idea that even though your main focus is working and developing and growing from the bottom up, but you also have to not just include the other type of avodah of being involved in matters of Kedusha that are above and beyond your level and bringing it down into your life, but that actually should be the fusion of the two, that you bring down higher levels of holiness in your life and you're using that to grow in your own growth, which is a product of your own initiative and your own drive to get closer to the Eibishter. So in passing, the Rebbe did mention in that sicha that is actually it's brought in Chassidus that in the months of the year, it's the first the winter months represent more the avodah of anila daidi working your way up to get progressively closer to the Eibishda, and the summer months represent more the avodah v'daidi li from the top down, as expressed by the month of Nisan, miracles, and then in the summer the sun is shining brighter, and so on. So here, in this week's Sicha, in the Sicha of Parshas Re'eh, the Rebbe starts off with the question, so we're going to see how the Rebbe actually takes it to a whole new level. The ideas that he mentioned in the Sicha before, now you will appreciate it, and this Sicha, the Rebbe takes these concepts to a whole new level. And basically, the Rebbe starts off with the question. The question is that we know that El is the month of Anila Daidi V'Daidi Li, that the main focus is on the avodah of a person, Mumata Lumaila, working his way up from the bottom up. So the question is, why is it that in almost every year, Parshas Re'eh is the Shabbos, is what we read on Shabbos Mevarchem of Chodesh El. The only time we don't read Re'eh on Shabbos Mevarchem is when Re'eh is actually Shabbos Rosh Chodesh. So we see that clearly Re'eh is normally either an introduction to the month of Elul, or even if it comes out as Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, it only comes out the first day Rosh Chodesh. So, which is also still the end of the previous month, sort of still the introduction to the month of Elul. So the Rebbe raises the question that in the parasha of Re'eh seems to be emphasized the Aveda, the Indian of Milmaila Lamata, from the top down. The Rebbe says we can actually see this in, if we analyze all the words of the first pasuk, we see this emphasis on top down. So it takes each word. It says Re'eh. Re'eh is referring to seeing, which is higher than hearing. One of the differences between seeing and hearing is that hearing is from the bottom up. You hear a description of something, and the more you hear, the more you understand and appreciate, and you gradually get an understanding and appreciation of what it is that you're hearing. Seeing, you see, is seeing the thing as it is right away, and then you have to process and internalize what it is that you saw. So seeing is top down, rather than as opposed to hearing, which is bottom up. And the Rebbe says the word similarly the word anoichi. The word anoichi is an allusion to the Eibishter himself. And the Eibishter himself is Atzmus Mahus, and the Rebbe says that this is actually, even though the literal meaning of the pasuk is that it's Moshe Rabbeinu doing the talking, it's a book of Dvarim is Moshe Rabbeinu's narrative, but it's explained in Chassidus that Anochi in this pasuk is referring to the Eibishter himself. So it's Haidois Atzmusi Mahusai Derech Hagbov is Nasus, that the term Anochi in general is, as opposed to ani, the term anoichi is when you're saying, you're expressing your very essence in a way of expressing yourself in a way of being elevated and removed above whoever it is that you're dressing. Ani is more like I, me and you. When I say I don't mean I as I stand apart from you, I mean I as I'm interacting with you. Anoichi is more like I, as I am completely removed and above you. So here again seems to emphasize the idea of, it seems to emphasize the idea of the essence which is above and is talking down. Anoichi means I'm above you and talking down to you. So it's the idea of from the top down rather than from the bottom up. Ani is more me as I'm interacting with you and relating to you on your level. Anochi is more as I'm talking from my level down to you. In Torah terms, not in people language, but in Torah terms, it's me saying it's the expression of the one's true essence, which is above and removed. So when the Eibush is saying it, it's the Eibush is very, speaking from his very essence, his very being, as it's completely above and removed from all finite existence. Similarly, the word Nisein. Nisein is, I'm giving. In a relationship, when there's a giver and a receiver, it means that's also. If you're on the receiving end, so it's coming to you, something's coming to you from the top down. It's not something that you gradually earned but it's something that's given to you full measure. Saying lefnechem. What is lefnechem? One of the Hasidic interpretation of lefnechem is lepnimiyuschem, to your pnimius. And one of the differences between when something comes from the develops from the bottom up or from the top down is when you're working from the bottom up, you start with the externals and you work your way to a deeper and more internal understanding and appreciation. So it starts from, you start from your own external aspect, and then you would ultimately you work towards trying to achieve that you internalize them. When something is handed to you directly, directly to your panemius, that means it's coming from the inside out, not from the outside in. So it's the same as from the top down rather than from the bottom up. Then the word hayayim. Hayayim alludes to the idea of giloy, of revelation, divine revelation. In fact, Chazal say that wherever it says the word hayayim in the Torah, it's referring to something eternal. So it expresses that this thing is eternal. So again, this is the idea of something, a revelation from above that doesn't have the, it's not bound by normal finite limitations. So again, that's top down rather than bottom up. And then the last words in the pasuk are bracha, followed by the word which means the opposite of bracha. But bracha, first of all, is also a drawing down from above, down below. So it's coming from, bracha is the idea of something which comes from above, down below, rather than something that's earned and achieved by working your way up to it. And even the word at the end of the bracha, which alludes to the opposite of blessing, is also brought that wherever we find this idea in Torah of the opposite of blessing, it's not an end unto itself. It's actually means to a higher level of blessing, which is a blessing that comes from transforming the negative into the positive. In fact, the Gemara tells a story that Reb Shimon Bar Yochai sent his son to get a blessing from certain sages. And when he went to the sages and asked them for a blessing, they said to him things that sounded like a curse. So he went back to his father. He said, "You told me to ask them for a blessing, and they cursed me." So he explained to him, "No, that the blessing they wanted to give you was so great that it couldn't come down in an openly positive form, and therefore they had to present it in a negative form. But really, it's even higher blessing." So again, this is the idea. These are ideas that represent a blessing coming from above and coming down. This is all, every word in this pasuk emphasizes the revelation from the top down rather than the work that a person does from the bottom up. And yet, we read, either on Shabbos Mevarchem El, or in this case, Shabbos Rosh Chodesh El, which the whole Indian of El is Ani L'doidi V'doidi Li, which is Dafka Avayda Mumata L'mayla, from the bottom up. So it seems to be the opposite message which is associated with this time. So the Rebbe says, perhaps we could explain it based on what we spoke about in the previous Fabrengen, in the week previously. He said that there's two aspects of Avayda, that even a person's practical avodah is an aspect of ani l'daydi, is also an aspect of a daydi li. And we did mention in passing the fact that this is actually in the yearly cycle. The first half of the year is the emphasis on working your way up from the bottom. Second half of the year, the emphasis is on the Aveda that's more in the way from the top down, the summer months. Ever since we could explain, and we know that the month of El is supposed to be a month in which you make a reckoning of the past year, and you make a plan for the coming year, preparation for the coming year. So we could say that when you make an accounting, when a person makes an accounting, so you work your way backwards. You make an accounting, you start from the previous month and you work your way back. So since the months immediately previous were in a way of from the top down, so in your accounting, from the working your way backwards, you're first focusing on top down and then going back to the beginning of the year when it was the avoid of them from the bottom up. In your preparation for the new year, since the new year starts more with the avoid of working your way from the bottom up, so there the emphasis you're starting off with from bottom up and working your way to Naveda of top down. So we could say that this is actually, that's the connection with the month, with the Pasha Bray, that especially since it comes out on the, we could say, based on this, that it, since it's always 2 days Rosh Chodesh El, we could say that the first day Rosh Chodesh relates more to the reckoning of the past, and the second day Rosh Chodesh relates more to the preparing for the coming year. So since in such a year, Re'eh falls out on Shabbos, and Shabbos, the first day of Rosh Chodesh, is more about the reckoning of the previous year. And the reckoning of the previous year, you're starting with the summer months and working back. And since you're starting with the summer months, so you're starting with the V'day Dili and working your way back to the winter months of Ani L'day Dili. So maybe that's why we read Re'eh, because it's referring to that process. Which, even though Re'eh seems to emphasize the whole top-down thing, it says, it doesn't really, since this is, the fact is that this is the what we read in the preparation for the month of El, and still in all, we say the main focus of the month, of the Aveda of the month of El itself is Ani L'Daydi, it would make a lot more sense to say that that should be the content and the message of the parasha, and yet it seems to be the opposite. So the Rebbe explains as follows. He refers to what we said in the week previously, and that there's two types of Aveda, Aveda Ani L'Daydi and Daydi Li, and that each one has an advantage that the other one doesn't have. The advantage of Ani L'Daydi is that it's through your own efforts, and it's completely internalized. The problem is that it's only, since you're working with your finite abilities and capacities, so the level that you achieve, the level of godliness that you attain, Ani L'Daydi, I am to my beloved, when you say we get closer to God, but the level of godliness that you can reach and attain is a finite godly revelation through your finite efforts. The advantage of a Daydi Li is that it's an infinite revelation from above. It's not, since the revelation from above, it's not limited in any way. The problem is that it's not something that you're capable of internalizing. So you have, because of your finite limitations and your finite capacity. Each one has an advantage. The one is that it's through your efforts and completely internalized. The other is that it's a far greater revelation, but the problem is that it's not internalized. And we said that the ultimate is the fusion of these two aspects together. So here the Rebbe says, takes this concept of fusing the two avodas together, here's where he takes it to a whole new level. He says, actually, this is, what is this chibur of the two milos? He says the ultimate is that you're actually doing your aveda through your own efforts, meaning you're growing and developing it gradually and expanding through your own efforts. But the ultimate is when you actually have the you're have the infinite revelation and the process of having attained it and achieved it through your own efforts. So how do you, what does that mean? How do you combine the two, those two things? So before the Rebbe explains exactly how that works, he explains, he first prefaces by saying that it's alluded to in the five acronyms for the month of El. The first one, we have the three lines of Torah Avodah, which is Tefillah, Torah, Tefillah, and Gemilas Chasodah, because we have Ina L'yodei V'samti Loch in the parasha of Ari Miklat, which alludes to Torah, the cities of sanctuary, which alludes to Torah. Then you have in Tefillah, Ani L'deidi V'deidi Li, I am to my beloved as my beloved is to me. In Gemilas Chasodah, in doing acts of kindness, it's, we see in the Pasuk, Ish l'Reyehu Matanos l'Avyeinim, that it says about the day of Purim. Tshuva is the fourth one, which is alluded to in the words, the Pasuk that talks about returning the hearts as of the Jewish people, as Lavavcha v'es Lavav, your hearts and the hearts of your children. And the fifth is Geula, which is in the Shira that the Jews said by the sea, and the words are Shira Lashem Vayemru Lamer. So what does that mean? What's the significance of these five acronyms? That explains that the Avaida, what's the Avaida of a person? The Avaida of a person is in these in the three lines of Torah, Tefillah, and Gemilas Chasadim. That's a person's main work in this world. But the idea is that this Avoda should transcend all limitations. You said the whole point of Avoda is that a person works his way up gradually. Right. And yet, it should be in a way that it transcends all limitations. How does it transcend all limitations? First of all, it should be permeated with the Avoda of Tshuva. That what's the whole point of Tshuva is that the neshama should return to its source, which is the world of Atzilus. So to reconnect to your source, the world of Atzilus, which is actually the idea of the fourth level, it's the fourth world. So these three avodas of Torah, Avodah, Gemilas Chasadim needs to be permeated with the connection to the fourth level, the fourth world, the world of Atzilus, which is not bound by the limitations of this world. And even higher than that, the Inyan of Geula, which is the fifth acronym and alludes to the fifth level, which transcends all limitations, not just the limitations of this world, it transcends all finite limitations, even spiritual limitations, is the fifth level of Geula. That's, so his Avoda should be permeated with and done with from the aspect of his yechida. So when a person achieves the level of geula in his avodah, so even though he's doing the same work of studying Torah and davening and gemilas chasadim, doing for others, doing the same work, but when that work is permeated with tshuva and ultimately with geula, which is the fifth level of the soul and the fifth level of the divinity, which is beyond all limitations, then a person is actually working and operating within the rules of the finite world. He's operating on a finite level, growing and progressing on a finite level, and yet he's doing all of that from a position of being above all limitations, all limitations and constraints of this finite world. So, the Rebbe says, let's reframe this in another way of saying this, that the person's avodah from the bottom up, ani l'deidi, so where's the bottom? When you say the bottom up, where are you starting from? When you say the bottom up, you assume you're starting from the your own human limitations and the limitations of the world. That's where you're starting from, right? And then you're going to work your way up. The Rebbe says, no. You don't start from there. That you start right away from the higher level. You're starting in your progression on the way up. You're starting from a level that transcends all measurements and all limitations. What does that mean? How does that happen? He says, because it's coming from a person's true essence, his true inner reality, which is his neshama, which is a chelek aleikam imal mamash, and even higher than that, from the level of neshama of yechida, which is yechida liyachtos, liyachtach, which is totally unified with the Eivishta, Yisrael v'kutshabricha kulachad, the Jew and the Eivishta is all one. So that's what he's talking about, the fusion and of the two avedas of ani l'deidi v'deidi li means that you're not, when you're bottom up, doesn't mean you're starting from the bottom of, starting from the position of your finite limitations, but even your bottom up, you're starting from the, you're starting with your point of departure is starting with the level of your yechida, of starting from the reality that you and the Eivishta are all one, and therefore not bound by the limitations of this world. So the Rebbe says, based on this, we can explain the kasha, the shaychus, the chedesh el, the parshas re'eh. How is a person's avod of chedesh el supposed to be b'shleimus? How is he supposed to reach this perfection of unifying the two aspects of ani l'deidi v'deidi li, that his avod should be in a way of without limitations? So which means, how is that possible? That means the finite person has to start from a level which is above finite limitations, by revealing his true essence and his true reality, which is that he's one with the Eivishta. He says, so that's the teichen of Parshas Re'eh. That as a hakdom, as a preface to a person's efforts, the first thing he has to be aware of before he starts dealing with, as it says in the next pasuk, the bracha comes if you do everything God commands, and the opposite comes if you don't do everything He tells you not to do. If you don't keep the things He tells you not to do, but before a person starts even dealing with issues of mitzvah asay and mitzvah lo asay, what to do, what not to do, the first emphasis is on the tremendous loftiness of the human being who's approaching this whole Aveda before he even starts. And how is this expressed in the words of the Pasuk? He says, Re'eh is to tell the person that you need to know that you're not, don't think that you have to begin your Aveda starting from the level of Shmia, where godliness is something that's distant from you, and you're stuck, you're a finite being stuck in a finite world, and you have to work yourself up gradually. No, you need to know, before you even start, you need to know that you're shaykh to Re'iyah, to seeing, you're on the level of Re'iyah, of seeing godliness. And not just seeing godliness, but Anoichi. Anoichi meaning God Himself. And you should know that this is something that's nice, and this is something that's given to you, and it's given to you in a generous fashion. And this is something that's given to you, lefnechem, to your pnimius. That's your true innermost being, your true innermost essence. And in the way of hayoyim, of revelation, of light and revelation, and in an eternal way. Bracha means that, and what's given to you is all matter of brachas, the revealed blessings, and as we said, the after the word bracha in the pasuk is the reference to divine blessings that come in a concealed way. But the point is that the general approach of a person to his avoda, which is ani l'deidi, it's my job, I have to do the work, there's no handouts, no free rides, I got to do the work. Right, but how do you approach the work? that the way of approaching the work is from the knowledge and recognition that in his innermost being is given the revelation of God himself, and through that, even the work that he does from the bottom up has to be done on a much higher level. He can't be starting from not just operating as just another human being here. Has been a much higher level, up to and including the level of being beyond all limitations. Okay, so then the Rebbe actually goes more into the details of the pasuk and the various, and also there mentions that the parsha of Re'eh concludes with the commandments relating to the holiday of Sukkot, which after it lists all the sacrifices, it then it concludes with Shmini Atzeres. That Shmini Atzeres is the day in which we say is a day that the Eivishter, it's just a day that's between God and the Jewish people, because throughout the days of Sukkot we bring sacrifices that represent the 70 nations. We bring the 70 oxen, but Shmini Atzeres is the day that represents, it's just God and the Jewish people. Yisrael u'malcha b'chudoi. And so this is the idea, again, it's just God and the Jewish people. This is the idea that even the Avodah, we read this in the Shabbos of Baruch Hamel or the first day of Rosh Chodesh El, to emphasize that this has to be the approach of a Jew, that his basic, the foundation where he's basically where he's his jumping off point is from the realization that a Jew and God are all one, and that is his true inner reality in an open and revealed way. So then the Rebbe again says this is emphasized even more when it falls out, when Rosh Chodesh El falls out on Shabbos. Because in general, on Shabbos, every single Jew is operating on a whole different level on Shabbos than he's operating during the week. And in fact, this manifests in the fact that Shabbos, he's busy with activities of holiness. He's not busy with weekday activities, busy with activities of holiness, Torah study and prayer, to the point that holiness actually even permeates his physical activities, so that his eating is a mitzvah, vayinik Shabbos, and so on. Even his physical activities become mitzvah activities. The person during the weekdays, on the other hand, is starting off, is involved in everyday workday activities. So when we say that when Rosh Chodesh El falls out on Shabbos and Sunday, so we're starting off right away, before you even get to the Avodah V'Ani L'Doidi, which the first day of Rosh Chodesh is still the 30th day of Av. It's sort of the Hakdama to the second day of Rosh Chodesh, when you really get started with the Avodah V'Ani L'Doidi. The first day is still that the Jew starts off already Shabbostic. He already starts off that even when he goes to the Ani L'Doidi, he has to, before he starts off, he can't start from the bottom. He has to start off already on the level where he's above the finite limitations of worldly activities, and then he can go into his worldly activities from that level and from that perspective. And in fact, Rosh Chodesh El, other months also could fall out on Shabbos and Sunday. Can fall out on Shabbos. But the other months, when they fall out on Shabbos, could be Friday Shabbos or Shabbos Sunday. Rosh Chodesh El could only be Shabbos Sunday. Can't be Friday Shabbos. Never falls out on Friday Shabbos. So, because again, the idea is that even the Avodah V'Ani L'Doidi doesn't mean you're just starting from the bottom and working your way up, starting from weekday and working your way up to Shabbos. No. Before you even get started, you have to be operating from the level of Shabbos, from a level of being completely connected to Kedusha, and then even when you go down into the workday, weekday activities, the Avodah Vanilu Doidi, it has to be all done from a Shabbos perspective. And then again, it goes into more detail about that in general, when Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh fall out together, the main emphasis is on Shabbos. The prayers are the Shabbos prayers, and we just stick in Rosh Chodesh and Yalav Yavay and in Musaf, but the other prayers that we stay with the regular Shabbos prayers, and we always emphasize Shabbos more. Even in benching, we say Ritzeh first, and then Yalav Yavay, and we... So that seems to be the end of that topic. Then the Rebbe adds another connection between the Parsha of Re'eh and the month of Elul, which we said that this is the idea that Re'eh and the month of Elul indicate the idea that you need, it's supposed to be Avodas Adam, it's supposed to be your work, through your efforts, but it's supposed to be in a way that transcends all measurements and all limitations. The Rebbe says this is even more emphasized in the year Tavshin Onal. The Rebbe says that the true fusion of these two aspects, we said, which the source of that is the Yichid Shebe Nefesh, the ability to operate within the world, within the finite world, using your finite abilities and operating within the finite world, but doing so in a way that transcends all the limitations of the world, that really comes from. So the shleimus of that will only be in the time of the redemption, which comes through Mashiach Tzidkenu, that Mashiach is the Yechida HaKlolos, and through him is revealed the individual Yechida in each and every single Jew, which is the fifth level of the Neshama, and it permeates all aspects of a person's Aveda, as we said, referring to the five acronyms of the month of Elul. The Rebbe said, so that inyan of the shleimus of the connection of Anila Deidi and Vedeidi Li of Re'eh and El is even more emphasized in the Shabbos Rosh Chodesh El of that year, Tavshin and Aleph, because even though in general a Jew is always supposed to be anticipating the Gula, and especially the times we're living in after all the predictive endpoints have passed, and we already completed all aspects of the Avodah, as mentioned many times. And still, Tavshin and Aleph is still, besides of all that, Tavshin and Aleph is a unique year, because first of all, it's a year of the Neflois Arenu, of the seeing of the wonders, and in fact, people have already seen in that year many wonders, both in terms of personal redemptions, and also in terms of general redemption, including and especially as it relates to the Jewish people that are living in Russia, that many of them went out in that year. Some went out literally, and some went out of the limitations of that country in terms of the ability to live Jewish life according to based on Torah mitzvahs. To the point that in the days previously, and it was continuing, that Shabbos, there was a Kenes HaShluchim, first official Kenes HaShluchim of Shluchim in Russia, that were meeting together in Moscow that Shabbos, which that country includes the cities in which the Rabbeim were active, such as Lubavitch, Liadi, Liozna, Rostov, Petersburg, in which the Rabbeim worked and were active. And they got, so the fact that they're gathering together in order to increase in spreading Torah and mitzvahs and spreading the wellsprings of chassidus, which bring about the coming of Mashiach. So you see already, so we're seeing, it's a year of seeing wonders, and we're already seeing them, and that Shabbos is still actually seeing them. And in that year itself, it's already standing Rosh Chodesh Elul, the month of making a reckoning for the entire year. So what's the bottom line in the reckoning for the entire year? The bottom line is Ad Masai. What are we still doing here? Why are we still here? How is it possible that after 11 months in the year of I will show you wonders, Mashiach still hasn't come? And to use the language of the Parsha, Re'eh Anechi Neisen Lefnechem Ayim Bracha, that the Eibishter gives the... In this year, all matters of brachas, especially the main bracha of the Gula Amidus Rashleima. It's not enough to hear that, oh, Mashiach is coming. No, we have to be able to see him with eyes of flesh. And not only, Arenu, I will show you, but Re'eh. We need to have the Re'eh that we actually could see in present tense and in a way of a command. Yeah, take a look, see. So the Rebbe says, in general, the emphasis of the Indian of Geula can be found in all the details of the day, and the Rebbe connects it to Shabbos, to the first day of Rosh Chodesh Elul, to the fact that it's Parshas Re'eh, and the first day of Rosh Chodesh Elul, which is also still connected to the month of Av, which is the time of the birth of Mashiach. Shabbos is it alludes to eternal rest. It's Me'ein Lasid Lava, and first day of Rosh Chodesh Elul is Rosh Chodesh in general is connected to redemption, and especially in the month of Av, and Parshas Re'eh, that the Geula is in a way of Re'iyah. And if we said that the end of the Parsha is Shmini Atzeres, the Shmini is connected with Geula, and also in the Aftera that we talk about how many, even though we don't read the third of the consolation Haftaras, we push that off to Parshas Kiseitze, but we read the Rosh Chodesh Haftarah, but even that has a number of verses that openly talk about consolation. As it says, Ki'isha she'imei t'nachmenu, ke'inanechi anachemchem, v'yirushalayim t'nuchamu, like a man whose mother consoles him, so too I will console you, and in Yerushalayim you will be consoled. So it is plenty of verses of consolation and the psukim that talk about the redemption. Rejoice, O Jerusalem, and be glad in her, and so on and so forth. And we end off with referring to the way it will be in the future times, that on every Rosh Chodesh and every Shabbos, he will travel to the Beis HaMikdash, and when the Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh fall out on the same day, you go twice back and forth. The clouds have to take you back and forth twice. And also we had Macha Chodesh, and the Rebbe explains the first and last pasuk of after every Rosh Chodesh. The Rebbe explains that. And the Sheftim V'Sheitrim, which again, we're only going to be able to fulfill that when Mashiach comes, because now in Golos we don't have that. The Rebbe says, so what does it all mean, B'negei L'Payel? B'negei L'Payel means we should publicize and agitate in all places, in every single place, about the special Aved of the month of El, as alluded to in the five Rosh Tevis of Tera Tfila, Gemilas Chasodim, Tshuva, and Geula, and especially a special emphasis on the fifth of these Rosh Tevis, on the Inyan of Geula, as it permeates all matters of Aveda in the sense that they're all permeated with and done in the spirit of redemption, including and especially through the study of Torah in matters of Geula and the Beis HaMikdash, with the feeling of yearning, of looking forward, and at the same time absolute certainty that immediately we're going to see with eyes of flesh, Shehine Zeh Melech HaMashiach Bo. This is bepashtas. What does this mean, bepashtas? Simply put, and here it's italicized. This is to proclaim and publicize in every place with words that go forth from the heart that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu says through his servant, the prophet, to each and every Jew, behold, I give before you today blessing. What does that mean? This is, again, this is all italicized, what you have to publicize, to the point that today, Hayyim Mamish, today literally, we see with eyes of flesh the blessing of the true and complete redemption. That's Bepashtus, the simple instruction. We said to publicize all over about the five acronyms of the month of El, and Torah, Avay, Tvila, Gemilas Chasadim, Tshuva, especially Geula, that everything should be permeated with Geula, and there should be everything should be done already in the spirit of Geula, and with the certainty that the Geula is coming immediately. the Pashtus, what he's supposed to do. He's supposed to proclaim and publicize in every place that God tells through his servants, the prophets, to every single Jew, behold, I am placing before you the blessing of, what that means is that today, literally, you could see with eyes of flesh, the blessing of the true and complete redemption. Then, in brackets, the Rebbe adds, you can add and emphasize that this proclamation and this publicizing of the aforementioned has to also be carried out by those who argue that they still have not yet completely absorbed this message in their own understanding and comprehension and cognitive awareness. Because, so what? How can we expect them to publicize it if they haven't yet absorbed the message themselves? That makes sense. Because since even they have the union of emuna, the union of faith, that every Jew has to completion. Every Jew has complete faith. Since they have complete faith, so therefore they're able. And the Rebbe adds in parentheses. This is in all in brackets. So that means in parentheses, since they're capable, therefore they also have to. They're capable and have to publicize these things to others, starting from your family members. But certainly they don't have to suffer from the fact that the matter hasn't yet settled in his own mind. And all those that are found in his surroundings, which is ultimately each and every Jew, and certainly through the proper efforts, the message will be accepted and will have its effect, including by the person who is doing the proclaiming and doing the publicizing. We said we're talking about a person who hasn't yet absorbed it and internalized it, that the effects and impacts will impact on him as well, that it will actually be absorbed in his within himself in an internal fashion through his publicizing and proclaiming to others. The Rebbe concludes with the Yiratzin that we should go, that from talking about all this, we should be Zeicher that immediately on this Shabbos we should have the Geula through Mashiach Tzidkenu, especially we connect this with saying L'chaim a large gathering of Jews and in the shul and of the Nasi Adar. So it says L'chaim v'levracha to everyone, and through them to all Jewish people in every places they should be, that we should all be blessed with all the blessings of Re'eh Anechi Nesim L'fnechem Hayeh, including and especially the blessing of Ksiva Chsima Teva L'shana Teva Mesuka, and certainly the main bracha of the Gula Amitis Vashleim. Rebbe says, Lashon HaKosev, Zayis HaBracha, we read on Tzvot HaStera, we conclude that so we should be Zaycha, that Mashiach should come, and everyone answers Amen, and whatever makes a reference to the power of saying Amen, and so on. So the question is, what is this all about? This idea that on the one hand, these different ideas that the Rebbe says, that first of all, you have to work from the bottom up, but you have to start from the place of Geula. Yes, you have to work from the bottom up. Yes, you have to, but you have to be starting from the real way of doing that is by starting from a place of Geula, from a place of being beyond limitations. Also, that you have to publicize that the Eivishter says that, behold, I am giving you today. You could actually see with the eyes of flesh. The Eivishter says, I'm giving you the blessing of the true and complete redemption. And you could actually see today with eyes of flesh the blessing of the true and complete redemption. Even somebody who hasn't yet internalized this by proclaiming and publicizing it, he will internalize it as well. Actually, if you think about it, of course you always have the option of not thinking about it. I'm saying if you choose to take the option of thinking about it, you think about it, you said that what's an example of an avodah that you're starting. On the one hand, you're gradually working your way up. On the other hand, you're starting. The idea is that you're starting from a whole different space, a whole different, you know, from a place of a Jew and God are all one, and you're starting from a place of beyond limitations. So actually, the Rebbe himself, in saying that what you should publicize about the Mashiach is actually giving you an example of what this means. But before that, we have to understand what exactly is the message. I mean, he's telling you to publicize a message, and even the message, and he says this is all pashtus. Pashtus, you should publicize the following message, and the message seems pretty fuzzy. What's the message? That God says to each and every Jew, He says this through His servants, the prophets. Okay, so let's put it out there on the table. He said through the Rebbe, right? So God is telling us through the Rebbe, as He explains in the next week, Shaftim, who the prophet is. Fine, we get it. So that's, what's the message? The message is that we could... God is placing before you the bracha to the point that you could see with eyes of flesh the blessing of the true and complete redemption. What means this? What do you see? What's with the eyes of flesh? Are we talking about literally seeing something? What does it mean you see the blessing of the true and complete redemption? Either you have a true and complete redemption or you don't have a true and complete redemption. What does it mean to see a blessing of it? What's there to see? What's a blessing? I mean, first of all, what is a blessing of the true and complete redemption? What is it? And what is it to see? And what does it all mean? And then the Rebbe says, by the way, if you'll do that, even if you're not holding by it, even if you don't feel it, you haven't yet fully processed it and internalized it in your intellect, but other people don't have to suffer because of that, and therefore you still have to publicize it, because faith you have, you just don't understand it yet. And through publicizing it, you will end up eventually understanding it as well. Basically, the difference between a Galus view of the world and a Geula view of the world is that a Galus view of the world is to see the world as it presents itself. And take it at face value, the world that it presents itself. Although we believe that there is, we know the Torah tells us, that there is, the world is a world, but behind the scenes there's all kinds of, there's godliness, there's God, there's all kinds of higher things beyond the world. But basically where you're starting from is the world is a world. And now, how do you connect to that which is higher than the world? Anila Daidi, how do you want to get close to God? How do you connect to God? So the point is, you have to, within the world, God gives you different means and tools and opportunities, ways to, you could, through the study of Torah and through davening and through mitzvahs and so on, you actually can grow beyond what the world, what the way you see yourself in the world, and then become more connected to God. But you're starting with the assumption that you're far away, and you're going to work your way up to whatever limited degree it's one is capable of achieving through his own finite efforts in a finite world. The Geula reality doesn't change the world, right? According to the Rambam, Chassidus explains that this is certainly the case in the first period of Mashiach, that Olam Kemenhagei Noeg, that the world is still keeps operating in the natural order of things. So what does it mean in the time of Geula? What's the difference? That the world is still a world. It still operates based on the natural order, the natural system. So what changes? What changes is you're working with the opposite perception. The opposite perception is that I am a godly being. And the only real reality is the godly reality. My job is to reveal that within the world. So in order for me to do my job to reveal that within the world, I also happen to put on a worldly body and a worldly and a worldly soul that enables me to relate to the world, and I have a worldly body, and I, therefore, in order to do my job, which I'm really completely one with God, I am, my reality is the godly reality. I'm here to reveal and express that divine reality in this finite world through myself. How do I interact with a finite world if I'm an infinite being? So I put on this finite human suit and this finite human soul so that I can relate to this finite world. That's really what it is. So the job is the same, right? We say when Mashiach comes, he's still going to learn Torah, he's still going to do mitzvahs, he's still going to do all things. The job is the same. The job did change, I mean, significantly in terms of what you're supposed to be busy with in your day-to-day activities. And Adam Chayrish and Adam Zareya, there's planting and plowing, so you could, right? You have to do all those mitzvahs of Trumas and Maestras, right? You're going to be doing all the same stuff that you actually supposed to be, the stuff that you're supposed to be doing goes, and the stuff that you're supposed to be doing way back when you first went into Eretz Yisrael. You can be busy with all those things, but it's all from a totally different reality. It's a totally different reality. I'm not a finite being trying to crawl out of this finite world and connect to something higher. I'm an infinite being who's sent down to this world to do a job. So what the Rebbe is saying is that you still have to do the job. You have to start from scratch, right? Let's see. Okay, the Rebbe says at some point you're not going to have to learn Niglo, or you're going to learn it once, and offers different suggestions in Tanya how if you're going to be mainly busy with Panimius HaTorah, what are you going to do with Niglo? Let's say according to the solution that he gives that you're going to learn it once, okay, and you'll remember it, so you won't forget. Okay, so how is that going to work? It takes time. Got to learn one line, and then another line, and then another line, and then another. It's still a gradual process, right? He says, the other option is that you'll know it from the premius, when you'll understand the spiritual inner workings of the world. You'll understand already how that manifests in actual law and practice, and halacha, and nigla, and how to, okay, but even that, it's still a process. You have to learn the premius, and then you have to figure out how that applies to this set of laws and that set of laws and the other set of laws, and then you're still going to be so your learning is going to be a process, right? Same thing with davening, right? What's davening? Davening is also, it's a gradual process. The idea of davening is that you're supposed to connect each level of your reality to God and pass through the various levels of divine realities, right? We say you're going through the four worlds till you get to Shemoneh Esrei, the world of Atzilus. The idea is you're supposed to be elevating every aspect of your being, every aspect of the world that's connected to you and your being, and all the worlds as you work your way progressively closer to God. So you're going to do the same thing again. You're going to start in Olam HaAsiya, which is where you were sent to operate from. And you're still going to work your way up when you daven. You're going to go, well, you're going to do the karbanos. What do you do with the karbanos? The karbanos, you're going to go through a spiritual process of elevation, of which you're going to take the physicality of the world and elevate it through the different progressive levels of godly revelation till the point that you connect to God himself. So you got to work it, take it up. Same thing with Gemilas Chasadim. Even though people will have their needs generously taken care of, it still is brought in Svarim. The Rebbe mentions in one of his letters that still, either there will be opportunities for Gemilas Chasadim, different suggestions of how there will be opportunities for Gemilas Chasadim, but even in the whatever the case is, there'll always be something that one person has to offer to the other person. And even if not, the point is that like the Chassidim of the Tzemach Tzedek, where each one lent each other they were very simple Jews, and they heard about the great spiritual how God loves when a Jew does lends money to another Jew. So even though they didn't need it, but each one would lend each other money just to have the to do the mitzvah of Gemilas Chasadim. And then later, one of the chassid who came up with this idea, this very simple Jew, came to the Tzemach Tzedek. Tzemach Tzedek said he saw in him a great light, which was much higher than his actual spiritual level, and it was because of this idea that he came up with of how to do the mitzvah of Gemilas Chasadim, to lend money to someone, even though they didn't really need it. They would lend it back and forth to each other to have them. There'll always be a way to, but again, the idea of Gemilas Chasadim, and it will be to, again, to channel the divine chesed. One of the ways that we do Gemilas Chasadim is to channel the divine chesed and revelation into the world. That's the, and to reveal the connection that exists between all Jews. So that's, we're going to be doing the exact same thing, but we're going to be doing it from a whole different level, not from a level of, oh, really, I'm a naturally selfish being, and I'm the only reason I'm doing this is I have to break my nature and I have to go against my nature in order to care about another Jew and do for another Jew. That's the Golus way of doing it. The Golus way of doing it is that I see how, by doing for another Jew, I'm channeling the infinite divine kindness into the world, and it's going to be the most obvious thing. Of course, I have to go find a way to do something for somebody, because that's my job here. I'm only here in this body and this whole thing. I'm only here to bring down that light. The same thing with tshuva. Tshuva is that the idea of constantly, of even as you're operating in this world and appear as a separate finite being operating in this world, to constantly be reconnected, to constantly be focused on reconnecting to your source, which is the world of Atzilus, where your soul originates from. And so that, when you're starting with the perspective of, I'm only here to do a job, I'm not really from here, I'm just a visiting alien, although after Mashiach comes, it'll be revealed that I'm not, from the way the world looks today, so from that perspective, I'm an alien. After Mashiach comes, it'll be revealed that actually the whole world was created just for me, and I'm not the alien, everyone else is. But in terms of the differentiation that you can make between the spiritual realms and the physical realms, in that sense, I'm a visiting alien, and I'm here to do a job. So, of course, you have to constantly be aware of remaining connected to your source, the tshuva, being connected to the divine source of your soul. You never lose sight of that connection. And then the idea of, again, of geula, the idea that I exist. My whole being is yichid le'yachadot. I exist. My entire existence exists only to reveal and express the divine unification in a world which externally may not appear to be. It won't be like it is today, where the world actually conceals and fights against that. But that's the reality, the perception, be revealing in the world how every single aspect in the world exists. My entire existence and everything in the world exists only to express that nothing else exists except for God, my absolute oneness with God. So basically, what the only thing that changes, obviously there's going to be other changes in terms of the external factors in the world, but the point is, the real change that happens is a shift in perspective. That's the real change that happens. You didn't change. You always had that neshama. You're not, right? There's a later time where it says that the new neshamas are going to come down, and after Tchias HaMeisim, and new neshamas, and the old neshamas are going to be recycled into the neshamas of tzaddikim and be elevated to this whole new level. Fine. That's the next period. We'll worry about that when that comes along. But the point is that basically the real shift that happens is a change of perspective. Instead of seeing yourself as a finite being who, yeah, I heard, I read that I have a soul, and I heard that that soul has very high levels, and I heard that on that. But I don't relate to that. I relate to myself as a physical human being. I read in the book that I'm not like every other physical human being because I'm a Jew. I read all kinds of other fascinating things in the book, but I have to learn about it and then gradually process it and internalize it. And so what the Rebbe said, the idea that the Rebbe is saying is, what does it mean to have the bracha of the true and complete redemption? What it means to have the bracha of the true and complete redemption means that you actually have the ability and the capacity to operate in the world in that manner, from the geula perspective. That the reality, you have the ability and capacity to operate. So you say, one second, I don't understand it yet. Ah, you're right, you don't understand it yet. Because you didn't, the avodah still has to be mamata lamaila. But the question is, where are you starting from? Just like the person in the time of Geula who's only going to have to learn all of Nigla once, and he's going to know it all, says, but I don't know it yet, right? You still have to do it. Okay? But if you sit down and open up the first volume of Gemara, right? And basically, somebody tells, does it make a difference if you think that your capacity to learn and absorb Gemara is based on your intellectual abilities as you know them now, or if God revealed to you that, you know what, all you're going to do is need to learn it once, and you're going to know exactly what you need to do, and you're going to know everything, and you're not going to forget it, and you're going to, do you think you might sit down, it would affect how you sit down and learn that same piece of Gemara? Be totally radically different, right? You're coming out of a totally different angle, coming out of a totally different perspective. And right now, it looks like this huge mountain that I'm going to spend my whole life trying to climb. And even when I climb it, by the time I get to one thing, I'm going to have forgotten the thing before. And it feels like I'm jogging in quicksand. So even when I do actually get a little further, but I feel like I'm not getting anywhere. And even when I do get, I feel like, I'm leaking, I'm forgetting. It almost feels like so that is in order to inspire yourself. You say, well, it's a lifetime's work, and it's every minute is a mitzvah, and every word is a mitzvah. And this, and it's getting you closer to God. So even though, don't be discouraged, and don't feel like you're wasting your time. It's God forbid, and in the future, after you drop dead and they drop you in a hole in the ground and you come to the next world, then you're going to remember everything and everything that you learned will be revealed to you, what it really means. Okay, so hang in there. Keep going, even though you don't feel like you're getting that far. I mean, obviously you see you're making progress. You see you have, you understand more than you did a year ago and 2 years before that. It's, if you keep going, if you get distracted and other things and you leave your learning behind, and then you try to go back to it, you realize I feel like I'm starting all over again. Okay, that happens. But the point is, you're coming at it from the bottom up, and the bottom seems like so low, and the top seems unreachable. And the same thing really happens in everything in life. So certainly when you tell somebody, hey, you know what, it's your job to bring the geula. Okay. So where am I now, and where do I have to get to? It just seems insurmountable. So yes, we believers, and the Rebbe says, and the Rebbe said, and surely the Rebbe this, we believe what the Rebbe said, so we're going to do it anyway, even if we don't. But the point is that it's all, the whole bottom-up experience is in itself sort of like, ends up being almost self-defeating, even as we do some of the work, and we don't not do it at all. I'm not talking about people who are not doing it at all, but people are doing it. But the whole bottom up thing sounds all very good on paper, but the bottom seems like a bottom, but the up doesn't seem like you ever get anywhere too far up. And especially talking about davening and connecting to God, connecting, I'm connected, okay, they say it's connected, so I'm connected. I love talking about connecting. I can explain to other people, to other Jews who don't know Chassidus, I love explaining how the mitzvahs, tzavsa and chibur and tefillah means like sewing together. I love explaining how it works, even though I don't see it. It's very exciting, it's very... it's very deep and inspiring and exciting, but it's not what I see. It's not how I experience reality. And that's really what the Rebbe is saying, is that because the reason is because you're still doing it all backwards. You're doing it from a galus place. And when you're starting from a galus place, our generation is the lowest generation. So if you're starting from a galus place, your bottom is further away than, is even lower than the previous generation's bottom. And therefore, the ultimate goal seems actually further away to you. And it says, you got it backwards. The point is that the idea of everything is done. And the bottom line is ad masa. Everything's done, and the bottom line is ad masa. It doesn't just mean that that's, you know, some kind of cheer or proclamation that the Rebbe wants people running around screaming ad masa, and then when they do scream ad masa, he complains that he doesn't like the way they scream ad masa. They didn't scream it the right way, the wrong way. It's not that. The point is that, again, you see the world backwards. You're supposed to be seeing the world from the point, the Rebbe is telling you that you're supposed to be looking at the world from the perspective of ad masa. The perspective of ad masa is, hello, we're here already, so what's holding up the works? Okay? When you're standing online at the bank, okay, you're getting impatient. Right? When you get into your car to drive to the bank, you're not getting impatient yet, right? Well, you're not impatient. You first have to get there. When I'll get there, then when you're standing on line and the line is taking too long, you're impatient because you're there already. I'm here already. What am I? That's when you start getting impatient. The atmosa is the feeling that, hello, we're here. Not, oh, I sat and figured out, see, I read somewhere that the world's been around for so and so many years. Since the world's been around for so and so many years, and goals has been so and so many years long, that seems pretty unreasonably long to me. You know what? I think I'm going to say ad masa. No, that's not coming from you. That's coming from, the Rebbe said, this one said, that one said, that, oh, it's, ad masa is when you're there, and it's going on and on, it's dragging on and on and on. So that's when you start crawling out of your skin, and hello, what's going on? We're here. No, everything's here. We're here. Mashiach's here. The world is here. We did it. What's going on? When you're at that place, that is when you. So the question is, okay, so what are you supposed to be doing here when you're at that place? When you're at that place, that is when you're capable of making the shift from seeing the world from the Gaula's perspective and starting to see the world from the Gaula perspective. Yeah, we're still working, but we're not working from the bottom. We're there already. So we're working from there, the there where you're at, that's where you need to be working from. You need to be working from the understanding and the realization of, this is it. It's all happening. This is who I am. This is who we are. This is what the world is. And this is how I'm operating within the world. Not the way we operated the thousands of years before in Golos. It's very interesting. We didn't get to do Parshas Veschanan. It was one of those weeks that we didn't do. But in the Sikha, in Parshas Veschanan, the Rebbe, one of the things the Rebbe said there on the Pirkei Avos of that week, the Rebbe spoke about the fact that there's this Histakel B'Shleisha Dvarim Ve'Enat Aboli De'Aveira. Very fascinating thing. You have to see it inside. The Rebbe says in that Sikha Veschanan, look at three things and you won't come to Lidei Avera. The Rebbe says, what does it mean, look at three things? The Rebbe says, three things refers to Geula. Because the Rebbe explains how the number three, the third Geula, the third Beis HaMikdash, the third, the Rebbe says, if you place your focus on Geula, the Rebbe says, it means if you're Mizbeinen, and in Yanni, Mashiach and Geula, Einat Abol Lidei Avera, you won't come to sin. And the Rebbe adds in the footnote, not only Einat Aboli De'Aveira, you could actually look at the wording and say, it should say Einat Aboli De'Aveira, Einat De'Aveira, what is it, Einat Aboli De'Aveira? The Rebbe says that in Halacha there's a concept of something that's called a Yad, a handle. It leads to something else. So the Rebbe says, what's the handle of Aveira? The handle of Aveira is Taivus of Eilam Hazah. The Rebbe says, Estakel B'Shleish Advarim Ve'Einat Aboli De'Aveira, if you're going to meditate and contemplate on in Yanni Mashiach and Geula, you won't even come to Yidei Avera. Not only will you not commit a sin, so the question is, what's going on here? Tanya doesn't even offer you a way to Right? We're around, we have chassidus around for 200 years. The Tanya doesn't tell you. Tanya basically says that, you know, if you have a taiva, if you have, practically tells you, of course you're going to have taivas. There's no way to avoid taivas. You're not supposed to give in. You're supposed to push it out of your mind. You're supposed to, you're supposed to remind yourself that you're willing to die for God, and giving up this pleasure is going to be a lot less painful than dying, right? So if you're willing to die for God, so you're willing to give up the pleasure for God. He doesn't tell you, it won't even come your way. He doesn't tell you, you know. And the Rebbe comes along. The Rebbe has this new idea. What? Histaka b'shloisha dvarim. So, where was that for the last few thousand years? How come no one ever knew about that? That's a pretty awesome piece of information. Okay, we're not maybe taking the best advantage of it, but I imagine the Chassidim of the Rebbe, if they knew that one, if they didn't, why is he writing for them? That sorry, pal, you might spend your whole life fighting taivas. Even if you're a Benini, you're going to end up spending your whole life fighting them. What do you mean? contemplate the Yonim Mishra and Gula. The answer to them is saying, no, because we're at the point where that is becoming the reality. So is being Mizbain and Yonim Mishra and Gula not being Mizbain and Yonim Mishra and Gula as a topic in Torah? It's Mizbain and Yonim Mishra and Gula as the reality that you're inhabiting. The Rebbe says, when you put yourself in that reality, then all those things, that has nothing to do with you. You're a visiting messianic redeemer who's, you know, at least you have a spark of the, so you're a mini redeemer visiting the planet Earth and redeeming it. What does it have to do with you? It has nothing to do with you. You're not that. The Alter Rebbe is describing this animalistic being with an animalistic soul that happens to have a deeper soul, and he has to figure out how to get in touch with that. And when you come into the perspective of Mashiach and Geula, it's a whole different story. You're a Yechidah Shev Nefesh. That's who you are. That's what you are. You're a spark of Mashiach who's here in the world to redeem your portion of the world that you're here to redeem for. So you're visiting. You happen to put on this animal costume and this animal thing in order to relate to the world. Fine, but it's nothing to do with you. That's not you. It's not who you are. It's nothing to do with you. So, which is in the past, there was only the tzaddik who felt that way. Only the tzaddik felt like, you know, I'm visiting with this body, and I need to, you know, I need to add some fuel to this body because that I happen to be inhabiting right now because it shouldn't collapse on me. But what is it? That is the reality that you're supposed to be getting into through learning Yonim Mishra Gula and being misbinded in Yonim Mishra Gula. The point is not just to learn the topic. The point is, and he keeps phrasing it throughout these Bamidbar parshas, and keeps trying to say it in many different words. But that's the point. The point is, when you internalize the Inyan of Mashiach Gula, and there's this here, he says you don't have to wait until you internalize it. You have to start proclaiming that that's the reality, even if it's because you believe it, even if you haven't yet fully internalized it, and then you'll internalize it as well. Maybe it should help that we should talk, see in a way of seeing with eyes of flesh, that we should talk, see the yechida, the general yechida, and not have to figure out what it means, just we should actually be able to see the full revelation of Mashiach in a very visual and tangible way. Take it from Yad Mamash, and then we'll do the rest, figure out the rest afterwards.
Amen.